Did you hear about the man that was swallowed by a reticulated python? Did you hear about that? Now, brace yourself. Brace yourself. If you don't want to see these pictures, close your eyes. A reticulated python, 23 feet long, slithered up behind a man in Indonesia who was working out in the field, who was 25 years old. And that python, unknowingly to the man, bit the man and then literally swallowed this man whole. Here are pictures that I don't know if you can see this or not. Here's a picture of the man. They cut the snake open to find this man swallowed up by a reticulated python. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? To be working and all of a sudden choked to death and swallowed by a snake. The man was dead, obviously, as they cut the snake open. Swallowed up. I begin to think about that. Swallowed up. But yet alive forevermore. You know, some of us today feel swallowed up, don't we? Maybe not by a snake, but maybe you're swallowed up with worry or swallowed up with care. Are swallowed up with lust, are swallowed up with anger. Maybe you're feeling swallowed up by something today. I want to tell you, today is Resurrection Sunday. Swallowed up, and yet God says that Jesus was alive forevermore. How many of you have been keeping up with the giraffe named April? Anybody? I saw yesterday where this giraffe in the zoo, I think it's in New York, finally had the baby giraffe. Now, how would you like to be born and dropped 7 feet from a giraffe? Well, that's a good entrance into the world, isn't it? But you know what? Speaking of giraffes, one of our little girls is probably in here this morning, came up to me about 2 weeks ago and said, Brother Pastor, I think she's about 5, 6 years old, Taylor Grace. She said to me, is she in here? I saw her a minute ago. She said to me, Pastor Randy, do you know... She's quizzing me. Do you know what was the animal on the ark with the highest IQ? I'm looking at a 5-year-old little girl. She's asking Pastor Randy a question. Do you know an animal on the ark with the highest IQ? I'm thinking, well, let's see. They say that monkeys have high IQs. Is it a monkey? No. Well, maybe was it a dog? Dogs got pretty smart. Or maybe it's a dog. No. And then a little 5-year-old girl looks at me and says, you give up? And I said, yeah, I give up. She said, a giraffe. A giraffe is the highest IQ on the ark. You get it? The highest IQ on the ark. I thought, wow, Taylor Grace, that is profound. But listen, beloved, swallowed up and yet still alive. Some of us today are feeling swallowed up. But I want to share with you a message God has on my heart today, this Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And it's, if you will take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 1, and if you would stand to your feet as we read the text of Revelation chapter 1. This is becoming one of my favorite books in all the Bible, Revelation 1. Swallowed up and yet still alive forevermore. Swallowed up and yet alive. You see, sometimes we can feel like we're swallowed up with things, and I dare say some of us today feel swallowed up. Let me just ask you a question as you're turning your Bibles. How many feel swallowed up with stress these days? Come on, raise your hand if you feel stressed out a little bit these days. How many feel swallowed up with bills? Man, you just can't catch up on your bills. The more you catch up, it seems like the more they come rolling in the mail. Well, we can all feel a sense of overwhelmed because of feeling swallowed up. But I'll tell you today, you can have a breakout today in 3 ways, and we're going to read the text in a moment, Revelation chapter 1, 3 ways you can have your breakout today. We'll find them in verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1. Now, there are at least three, maybe four different approaches as we approach interpretation of the book of Revelation. First, there's the preterist view. Preterist, say it with me. Preterist, say it again. One person said it. Preterist, say it with me. Preterist. That means all of this stuff has been fulfilled, the preterist view. Some believe the revelation's already been fulfilled. I do not believe that. Secondly, there's the historical viewpoint. And those are those who believe, well, we're right now in Revelation and there's no futuristic implication. Then there's the historical spiritualist that also interprets it the same way, that we're now living in Revelation and therefore there's no kind of end time implications in the book of Revelation. However, I believe the fourth view, mainly the futuristic view, meaning that much of Revelation, especially from chapter 4 to chapter 22, is yet to come. That is, it is yet to be fulfilled. I said all that to lead us into Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. We began reading in verse number 5. John, of course, is the human author the Holy Spirit uses, and it just so happens it's a time of terrible, terrible persecution on the earth. Sounds like modern day, especially like the Coptic Egyptian Christians last week that were blown up as they were having church on Sunday. I forget how many were killed. A number of them were killed. And thus they are trying to stifle ISIS is and strike fear into those who believe in the God of the Bible. And we come to chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Notice, underline that. First begotten of the dead. Say that with me. First begotten of the dead. Say it again. First begotten of the dead. One more time. That's an interesting word. We'll come back to it. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. I like that phrase. Underline that. Unto him that loved us and washed us. Underline loved and underline washed. We'll come back to it in a little while. He loved us and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. That word from is the Greek preposition apo, which means he didn't wash us while we were in our sin. He washed us from our sin. It's one thing to say I've been forgiven and with sin of sin, but it's another thing to continue in that sin. Oh, listen, he delivers us from not only the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and thank God one day the very presence of sin. Notice in verse number 5 again, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in the last part, in his own blood, not by the Ten Commandments, not by the Golden Rule, not by the Sermon on the Mount, but in his own blood. I thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Notice verse 6, and hath made us kings. Note that. Kings and what else? Priests. Kings and priests. Say it with me. Kings and priests. Say it again. I told y'all we're not at a dead funeral. We're at a celebration, all right? Kings and priests. Can you say it out loud? Kings and priests. One more time. Very good. It might help you as you follow along what God has, and the reason I ask you to repeat it with me. And notice verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I love verse 7. Behold. And that word behold means look, stop, see, behold. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Let me just pause right there. Evidently, this is not the rapture, because at the rapture, there's no indication. That is the next event on God's calendar, according to my personal belief. But at the rapture, there's no indication that all eyes will see him at the rapture. There's no indication in Scripture that verifies that. However, right here, after the rapture, his second coming in the clouds, and he comes to planet Earth. In the rapture, he stops in the air. We're caught up together with him, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. But right here, he comes in the clouds. But Zechariah gives us a little insight. He comes to the earth. His feet stand on the Mount of Olives. And according to this, every eye shall see him. And then keep reading in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail. That word wail is the word kupto, which means to beat one's breast. They shall wail. Who's he talking about? It may be a reference to the book of Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, where Zechariah says, all of Israel, they that shall look upon him, whom they pierced and mourn. I know that many of the Jews will be saved at a futuristic event, but it's not just the Jews that nailed on the cross, hello. It's all of our sins, not just the Romans, not just the Jews. It's your sin and my sin that cost Jesus, made him pay his life with his own blood, and therefore we could be forgiven. Notice again, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Even so, amen. The word amen means, may it be so. Say it. It's true. Amen. Amen. And amen. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that sometimes we feel swallowed up. And I'm convinced, God, there's a number of us today that we don't want to just play church. We don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just put on our good clothes and act like everything's okay. But God, we want to get real with you today. We want to get transparent with you today. I pray your Holy Spirit will turn on the light of every one of our hearts. And you'll, God, cause us to praise you and thank you and bless you, because today you're alive forevermore, and we celebrate and worship a living God, and we give you glory now. Change lives, save the lost. Those that, like me, Father, are playing church, those that are going through the motion, dear God, those that have an outward profession but no inward possession, I pray today your Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You'll draw us to Jesus. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your victory over death, hell, sin, and the grave. And we pray, when all said and done, you get the glory, because it's all about you and you're worthy of glory. Thank you for bringing those that are here this morning. And we pray you'll change us, dear God. We'll never be the same, because we've seen you with the eye of faith. We've believed you with the heart of faith, and we've received your promises with the hand of faith. And we bless you and love you now, and thank you again for changing my heart and saving me. And God, I pray that you'll bless each one here today with an extraordinary outpouring of your Spirit. And we'll thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message today. The message, swallowed up. Swallowed up. But alive forevermore. And I trust in you. And listen, beloved, I know some of you may feel a little shy. You may feel a little insecure, maybe a little hesitant to praise the Lord today. But I'll tell you what, we ought to bless God today, because he's alive, number one. Amen and amen and amen. And whether anybody else praises the Lord, you need to praise the Lord. It's not about whether anybody else praises God. God puts on your heart that we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. You've been good to me. I thank you that you woke me up this morning. Amen. I thank you that you promised to supply my needs. I thank you for the health and joy. Come on, talk to me, somebody. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to die and go to hell. You prepared a place for me in glory. I thank you, precious Jesus, that you give me peace in the middle of a storm. I thank you, Lord, that it's about you, and you promised that I wouldn't have it easy sailing every day, but you promised you'd be with me every day, every step of the way. And I thank you that I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm heaven bound. I've been bought with the blood of the Lamb of God. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, the hope of glory. The word of God is true. I've got resurrection power, Holy Ghost power. I want to bless my God, because it's all about him, and he's coming one day. Amen and amen and amen. He's coming one day. Yes, he is. And so, swallowed up but alive forevermore. Number one, the first way that you and I can notice, have a breakout. What do I mean by breakout? Breakout with thanksgiving and praise. Tell you what, we ought to be thankful to God today. Say amen. You ought to be thankful to God. Are you thankful to God today? But are you entering the house of God with thanksgiving? Oh, listen, we ought to praise the Lord today. Why? Number one, how can we have a breakout with praise and thanksgiving because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Notice verse 5 again. I see at least three reasons why you and I ought to have a breakout of praise and thanksgiving. Look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's a first way why you and I ought to praise God and thank God, because of what he's done and who he is. Number one,
I'll tell you why you ought to praise God today. And if you don't praise God, I'm going to say shame on you. I'll tell you why. Because death has been defeated. You ought to praise God right there. You know what? You're going to die one day. Can you hear me? I said, you're going to die one day. And you'll be glad if you get things right with God that death isn't the end. Death has been defeated. I saw a yellow jacket yesterday. Now, you Georgia Tech fans don't be upset with me, but I killed that rascal, a yellow jacket. And you know, they got a stinger in them. Man, if they sting you, buddy, it'll hurt. But you remove that stinger. Have you ever removed a stinger from a bee? I tried that surgery one time. I just got that bee and I got that little stinger. That thing was sticking you with that little stinger. And I grabbed that stinger and I just pulled that baby right out of that bee. I said, now try it. Can't do it. I want to tell you something. Death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus Christ, He went down in the grave. He removed the sting from death. And today we don't have to be afraid of dying because absent from the body is present with the Lord. My Lord went before us. Hallelujah. He conquered death and death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? But you know what? I tell you what, I thought about it. Over the last year, I've had probably, and it's been a privilege to be at least 15 of our people. 15 dear precious people. Saw them take their last breath. Was with them when they died. Have you been with somebody that died lately? You'll never be the same when you stand by the bedside. You watch them take their last breath. Boom, they're gone. Oh, gone from here, but not gone from there, all right? But I want to tell you something. And then at least 15 more, I counted in my mind, a total of at least 30 people in the last year, I've had the privilege of being with them at their funeral. 30 people now in a year. That's almost every 2 weeks. But I said all that to say this. I'm so glad to tell you, when I stand at that graveside, praise God, I don't have to worry. I say thank God, as the choir sang a moment ago, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you understand what this means to me and to it ought to mean to you? When a loved one dies, it's not the end, praise God. It doesn't mean it's over, because God said, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. I'm telling you this, you've had a loved one to pass away, but when they pass away, you can just say good night, I'll see you in the morning, all because Jesus arose from the grave. Death has been defeated. That is great news, my brother. Isn't it, Brother Richard? It's great news. I was there when your wife passed away, and we saw her escorted into glory. Many of you other ones have had loved ones to pass away. Mike, just recently, Brother Gary and others have had loved ones to pass away. But look, death has been defeated. Oh, yes, it has. And speaking of that, I got a letter a few years ago from a lady. And she said this in the letter. She was like a second mama to me. You need to understand. She said, my condolences in the letter. She had a newspaper clipping. It was from an obituary column. And her letter read something along this line. My condolences, I'm sorry about the death of your dad. And she included in there a clipping in the newspaper, the obituary column, that said, Robert Reese has passed away, and the burial and the funeral was such and such a date. When I looked at that newspaper clipping, I said, wait a minute, I just talked with him yesterday. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong. He's still alive. I'm telling you, he's still alive. I just talked with him yesterday. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, there's got to be another person named Robert Reese. It's not my dad, but it's somebody else. I said, I just talked with him, and I called that dear lady and said, I appreciate you sending me that newspaper clipping. But guess what? I talked with him yesterday. He's still alive. I said that to say this, if anybody ever tells you that Jesus Christ is dead, tell them they're wrong, because I talked with him this morning, amen. I talked with him today. He's not dead, he's alive, amen. Yes, he's alive. He's alive, I know, I talked with him. And so, you know, D.L. Moody once said this. He said, if you ever read my name in the paper obituary column, D.L. Moody's died. Don't believe a word of it. He said, I'll be as alive as I've ever been before. How many believe that death has been defeated? Glory to God. Death has been defeated. You understand what I'm saying? One day we're going to all cross over unless Jesus comes back again. And that's why we ought to shout. That's why we ought to praise God. That's why we ought to enter the house of God with thanksgiving today, because death has been defeated. Yes, you ought to praise the Lord. You ought to bless God. I just came to praise the Lord. I sure did today. Then not only has death been defeated, but notice the devil has been thrown down. The devil has been thrown down. Write down this verse, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Writer Hebrews said, now him that had the power over death, that is the devil, he might destroy him that had the power over death, that's the devil. That is, Jesus Christ destroyed the power over death. Why ought I come to the house of God today and praise the Lord? I'll tell you why I ought to come to the house of God today and praise the Lord. Because death has been defeated. Oh, yes, it has. Death has been defeated. And not only has death been defeated, but the devil's been thrown down. Now, you do know that the devil is the arch enemy of God. You do know that in the very beginning, the devil said, I'll be like God. We read that in Isaiah 14. We read that in Ezekiel chapter 28. And yet God kicked him out of heaven. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in enemies by hurt you. Death has been defeated. The devil has been thrown down. But I'll tell you what, the devil wasn't finished then. The devil said, I know I can get the human race. Eve and Adam placed in the garden, and the serpent disguised being the devil, and he said to Eve, no, God hadn't really said you're going to surely die. Oh, she said, if I eat the fruit, I'm going to die. No, God hadn't really said that. God knows if you eat the fruit, you will not die. The devil was trying his dirty tricks again, like he tries in your life and my life, to get us to listen to him. How many know the devil's a liar? Somebody say amen. Oh, yes, he is. And you see, he wasn't finished then, because he is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's why you're having a lot of calamity. I sense last night I was going through some spiritual warfare. How many of you sense that the enemy is coming in like a flood? But thank God, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Oh, yes, the devil's been thrown down. And you see, the devil wasn't finished. We read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. The devil carried up Jesus to the high mountain in his last temptation. After the Lord, I might add, fasted and prayed 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil said, oh, but you'll bow down and worship me. I'll give you all of this kingdom. Wait a minute. Really? How in the world could the devil give Jesus that kingdom? Because he had been thrown from the first heaven to the third heaven to the first heaven. And that's why he was given authority, the prince of the power of the air. But wait a minute. Jesus said what you ought to say and I ought to say. You know what he said? Get behind me, Satan. Say it with me. Get behind me, Satan. Say it one more time. Get behind me, Satan. Mean it like you say it. Hey, look. We've got power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's why we ought to come to the house of God today with praise and thanksgiving. Why? Because death has been defeated. Why? Because the devil has been thrown down. I like this right here. I found this picture. If I can get this thing to work here. Click on. You might have to click it on there in the back. Click on. Come on. Come on, please. Keep going there. Katie, can you go to the next picture, please? And then go on to the next picture, if I can get the picture. All right, next. After that, you'll see another picture. And by the way, I like this. Part-time Christians cannot defeat full-time devils. Are you a part-time Christian? Or are you a full-time Christian? Oh, look, you got to get in or get out. Amen. Next picture, please. There it is. Satan, you have been defeated. Now, you can't see this, but there's an old serpent, and he's been stomped on the head. I'll tell you, praise the Lord, my God is greater than the devil. My God is stronger than the devil. I'm thankful to God that Jesus tore the bars of the grave. And you see, when the Lord was dying on the cross, the Prince of Glory, I can imagine in my mind's eye, all the imps of hell probably said, woo, we got him now. Woo! The imps of hell. We've got him now. He's on the cross. We've got him. Well, did they really have him? I got to tell you some more news after that. because Joseph of Arimathea came and got Nicodemus along, put his body in the tomb. And then you see the Bible says in Matthew 28, in Luke 24, in Mark chapter 16, and in John chapter 20, all four gospel writers describe what took place on that resurrection morning. I love it. Think with me for a moment. You know what happened on the resurrection morning? I'll tell you what happened. It was like Jesus was wrapped up in those gray clothes with a napkin on his head, but God's time clock just began to tick, and you see the devil knew that his time was running out, just like you know he knows his time is short. But wait a minute. And then somebody said, one day passed by and 2 days passed by, and then all of a sudden the third day an angel came from heaven and rolled the stone away, and up from the grave he arose. Somebody said he kicked off those grave clothes and said, "Death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" And the devil was trembling, and the demons of hell said, "Something's gone wrong. We've messed up. We've got some power we're not able to control." I want to tell you, on that resurrection morning, when the angel rolled the stone away, he didn't roll it away to let Jesus out, but he rolled it away to let the outsiders in. And somebody said, a little bird flew up to heaven and said, "He's alive. He's alive. He's alive." I imagine old blind Bartimaeus, his eyes must have went blind again. Jesus is alive. Yeah, that's right. The two on the road to Emmaus saw Jesus is alive. And then the woman that was hemorrhaging for 12 years, spent all the money she had, now she hears Jesus is alive. I want to tell you something. We've been shouting that victory for 2,000 years, and I'm going to shout it till I get to glory. Jesus is alive. Yes, he's alive. If your God's not alive, I want to tell you, you just need to get the God of the Bible. Death has been defeated. The devil's been destroyed. Did you hear about a church full of folks? We got 152 people here this morning. Unless some more folks came in. I heard about a church where the devil came in the church. Everybody jumped up and ran out. Man, they didn't want to be a part of the devil. Everybody but one man. Sitting on the front row. I'm not saying it's you now, Steve. One man on the front row. I'm not saying it's you, Richard. I'm not saying it's you, Kim. But one man sat after everybody else evacuated the area. The devil looked at him and said, "Aren't you going to run too? Aren't you going to leave too?" He looked at the devil and said, "Why should I? I've been married to your sister for 53 years. Oh, God help us. Hey, death has been defeated. I didn't say you, Steve, now. Amen. Jennifer's not in here. I'm going to tell her you said that, all right? Death has been defeated, but the devil's been thrown down. Number three. Watch this. Next picture. Sin debt has been destroyed. Sin debt has been destroyed. Somebody put it this way. I like this. Sins are like credit card. Enjoy now, pay me later. Oh, yeah. I'm glad, though, the next slide says this. Thank God. He paid, I'm about to get a little happy right here. He paid your debt. He paid it. God the Father, he paid our debt in his own blood. Yes, he did. Paid in full. God the Father, my precious blood, the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, something nobody else could do. The one that lived without sin, no lying, no cheating, no disobedience, but obedient unto death. That's why he could die. That's why he could pay my sin debt, signed by Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so grateful to God. I don't owe anything to my Father. It's already been taken care of. I'm so grateful to God, and I want to praise the Lord today, and I want to thank God today because my sin debt has been paid. Oh, that's good news, my brother. That's good news, my sister. It's been paid in full. I asked you to take two words out of the text. Notice again in verse 5. Two words I want to draw your attention. Number one, "And to him that loved us." You see that? If you see it, raise your hand. "And to him that loved us." You know what that word love is? I got to tell you this. I'll move on. That word love means he loved us and he keeps on loving us. That means he loved us once and yet he keeps on loving us. Is that not good news or what? The Bible says he loved us. That means he keeps on loving us. He loves me today. He loved me yesterday. He's going to love me tomorrow. The greatest thing in all the world is the love of God.
Paul put it this way, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Everybody needs to be loved. Somebody say amen. And we all need unconditional love. And that's what the love of God, oh, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. You see, Paul and John, the same one that wrote Revelation, said this, oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God so loved the world that He gave. God so loved the world. Say it with me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice that word up in verse 5 again. Unto the first begotten of the dead. You know what that word first begotten is? Prototokos. And the word prototokos means He's the first one that's ever died and risen from the grave, but never to die again. He's the first one, I want to repeat it, that has died and been risen from the grave, raised from the grave, only never to die again. He is the prototokos. He is the first begotten. And Paul uses that term in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 when he said, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of many creatures. That is, He's not firstborn as in coming to the earth. Hey, look at me, listen to me. Jesus Christ has been here from eternity past. And He will be here till eternity future. He's not just a man that showed up in the manger. He is God, God in the flesh. He will ever be for God. He'll be ever God because He created all things according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. By Him were all things created, heaven and earth, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, all things created by Him and for Him. You say, Pastor, why are you saying that? I'll tell you why. Because Jehovah's Witnesses say He's just the Son of God. And the Mormons and the cults like the Muslims, they don't believe that Jesus was God. I got news for you. He was God in the flesh. That's why I said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He was not a good way to heaven. He was not a great way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. That's why you got to be born again. And you see, He said He'd have power to forgive sin. He said, destroy this temple 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He said to the wind, cease. He cast out demons. He had power over death. He had power over disease. The proof is all there. Therefore, you ought to receive Him now. You say, but I got to see a sign. I'll tell you what the sign is. The sign is you're a sinner and He's a great Savior. Amen. That's all the sign you need. It's that, God, there's something wrong with me. I need forgiveness. I need peace with God. And therefore, Jesus said, oh, yes. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin has been defeated. Oh, yes. Death has been defeated. Satan has been thrown down. Our sin debt has been paid in full. Now to Him, look at verse 5. Now to Him that loved us, what's the next word? He loved us and gave Himself for us. Now to Him that loved us, what's the next two words after loved us? Good. And washed us. Say it with me. And washed us. Say it with me. He washed us. You know what that word wash is? I like that word. You know what it is? It's the word luo. Luo. Say it with me. Luo. You know what that word means? Loosed us. Now to Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He loved us and He washed us. He loosed us. Oh, yes, He did. He loosed us. I'll tell you what. I'm glad that He loosed me. Are you glad that He loosed you? It's like sin had a hold of us. Sin had a hold of us. The devil had a hold of us. The devil had a hold of us. The devil had a hold of us. But Jesus pulled us away. Amen and amen. Woo! Thank you, brother. Amen. He loosed us. He loosed us. He broke the grip. From sin, aren't you glad? Glory. Loosed us from our sins in His own blood. Hey, you ought to praise God today. You ought to thank God today. Why? Death has been defeated. The devil's been thrown down. Sin debt has been paid in full. But wait a minute. There's something else I want you to see. Quickly, look at verse 6. There's another reason how we ought to break out today with praise and thanksgiving. Not only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, verse 5, but because of His resurrection power for today. We find that in verse 6. Look at verse 6 quickly, please. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, and He's made us what? Kings and what? Priests. Unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. What is a king?
What does a king do? What is the role of a king? I'll tell you what a king does. Got to thinking about it. You know what a king does? A king sits on his throne. And a king has things under his feet. I can't hear you. Y'all getting it? And he's given us to be kings. Oh, yeah, I know what you're thinking. I don't feel like a king. He didn't ask you what you felt like. He said, we've been given kings. We are kings and priests. And I want to tell you something. How you doing, my brother? How you doing? Well, under the circumstances. You mean you're under the circumstances? You ought to be over the circumstances. Under the circumstances. And you know what we do? We're bad about this. I am, you are, all of us are. You know what we do? When I get together, say, how you doing? Well, my back's hurting, my neck's hurting, my leg's hurting. Well, that's nothing. My toe's hurting too, and my tongue's hurting, my nose is hurting, my ear's hurting. Man, I'm hurting all over. And if you're not depressed, you will be after you get together with a few of us. Amen. Man, it's just like I'll outdo you. Man, I'm hurting worse than you are. Hey, we got something to praise God for, amen. One of these days there's not going to be any more pain. Come on, somebody say, thank God. There's no more pain, no more. We have been made kings. And then you know what else we've been made? What's the next word in verse 6? Kings and what else? What's a priest do? What's a priest do? I'll tell you what a priest does. We've been made kings and priests. You know what a priest does? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got to go here. Now, y'all just going to have to forgive me for a moment. I'm glad, praise God, when I get to talking with my Father, I don't have to go through a pope. I don't have to go through a high priest. I don't have to go through a preacher. I don't have to go through a pastor. I don't have to go through Mary. I don't have to go through Michael. I don't have to go through Peter. I can go straight to the throne of grace. Woo! Right to God's throne of grace as a priest. Brother, that ought to cause you to be thankful today that you don't have to have somebody else to go to God's throne. Write this down, Hebrews 4, verse 15, 16. Therefore, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, whereby we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Now, I want to tell you something, and then I'll be done. Three ways. Next slide, please. Three ways that we ought to be maybe swallowed up, but alive forevermore. Number one, how can we have a breakout with praise and thanksgiving by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead? That's verse 5. But secondly, how can we live in resurrection power because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus? That's verse 6. But last but not least, how can we prepare for the promise of His coming? That's verse 7. I like this. Look at this. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Say that with me, would you? Behold, He cometh with clouds. One more time. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. Can I tell you something? When Jesus comes again, when He comes again, the first time He came as a lowly lamb. Yes, He did. A lamb to the slaughter. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we're healed. But when He comes again, He's not coming as a lowly lamb. When He comes again in glory and power, He's going to come as the roaring lion. He's the lion from the tribe of Judah. He's the root of David. He's the King of glory. He rules over all. The earth is the Lord's. The clouds are the dust of His feet. Russia's not in control. America's not in control. North Korea is not in control. My God's in control. He's in control. Yes, He is. And you know what? When He came the first time, He came as a great physician. But when He comes again, there'll be no more need for healing. There'll be perfect healing. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, John said, He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither should there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hey, look, when He came the first time, He came as a great physician. When He comes again, He'll come as a complete healer. We'll have a glorified body. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sinus infection.
There'll be no more backache, little Floyd. There'll be no more brain tumors, hallelujah. There'll be no more cancer, and there'll be no more cancer, Alice. There'll be no more terrible disease when we get to glory. He came the first time as a great physician, but when it comes again, there'll be no need for healing. He's the great healer. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He's the balm of Gilead. Yes, he is. Is there anybody here today that says, I need a touch from the Master's hand? I believe he can heal me. There's somebody today that needs to reach out the hand of faith and say, I've tried this. I've tried this. Come to Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus is the best doctor you can have. You need to reach out to him today. I said, you need to reach out to him today. I said, take your hand of faith and reach up to the nail-scarred hand and say, God, I can't explain it, but I believe, help my unbelief, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When he came the first time, he came as a storm calmer. Shh. Peace. Be still. When he comes the next time, the storm will be over. As lightning shines to the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's Matthew 24, verse 37. The storm will be over. The storm will be over. When he came the first time, he came as a promise giver. But when he comes the second time, he'll come as a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. And all of his promises in Jesus, they're yea, and in him, amen. You ought to thank God today. You ought to praise God today. You might feel like you're swallowed up. You might feel like you're swallowed up. Swallowed up, but alive forevermore. He's not here. He's risen. We're going to see him again one day. And I wonder today, if maybe you feel swallowed up with guilt and swallowed up with sin and swallowed up with pressure and stress, would you stand to your feet today?